Psalms chapter number 85. If you're glad you come to church today, say amen.
Amen.
Psalms 85. The Bible said, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Aren't you glad we got a God that'll cover it all? Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation. Cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Will Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Verse 6, Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together. Thank You, Lord, for the Spirit of God that's in our midst, that's stirring hearts. Now, Lord, I'm a needy preacher this morning, and I pray that You'd help me. Oh, God, would You speak through me today and let me be a blessing. Help us now with the Word of God. Open up hearts. Plow a field today, Lord. Plow a field. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I will preach this morning out of verse 6, Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. I will preach on this simple subject, from survival to revival. From survival to revival. Many times we go through the life of just survival. Just surviving as a Christian. But I believe in the pages of this book, God's got a lot more for the Christian. I'd like to ask you, first of all, six little short questions this morning. I want to ask you, has your attendance at the house of God declined? Have you become unfaithful of where God wants you to be and needs you to be? Has your attendance declined? Number two, has your adoration become distracted? Have you forgot about where your blessings have come from? God is the blesser. He's in the blessing business. I seen something preaching this week I'd never seen out of Malachi chapter number 3. Where He said, bring y'all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me, saith the Lord. If I'll not pour you out a blessing, look what He says, there'll not be room enough to receive them. I'm glad when God gets to blessing people, it spills out on other folks. I'm glad I've been around people in church where God got so big on them, they didn't have enough room to put it, so it just poured out on me. I'm glad I've been around people where God blessed them so they just couldn't handle it no more, and they had to pass some of it along to somebody else. He said, you not even have room enough to receive it. That's just like our God. He's got so many blessings, you ain't got enough barns to put them in. You look around here this morning, you've got blessings that money cannot buy. You've got wife, you've got children, you've got friends, you've got family. You've got a church, you've got a God that's sitting yonder in heavenly world that's seeing everything. Boy, God said, I'll be such a God to you, you can't build, oh Lord, you can't even build enough room to receive what I've got for you. Ain't that a God? Let me know there's a God in heaven that is a giving, and I bless Him today. I'm glad, He said, if you trust me, you won't even build enough rooms to receive. Said, it'll spill out on somebody. I thank God I've been around some Christians that trusted God enough that they couldn't build enough rooms on to obtain the blessing of God. And they spilt out in my life and in my yard and in my home and in our church. And I bless the name of the Lord this morning. I would ask you, has your adoration become distracted? God, You're so good. And You can do anything. Thirdly, has the acceptance of the Word been denied? It's not me, Lord. It's somebody else. Has the accepting of the Word been denied from you? Ah, that's just that preacher talking. No, that's the Bible talking. Isaiah seen Him and he said, woe. is me. It wasn't his neighbor. It wasn't his wife. It wasn't the woman's husband. It wasn't their children that was the problem. It was me, O Lord. So I'd ask you, has your attendance been declined? Has your adoration been distracted? Has your acceptance of the Word of God been denied? Are you in denial? It's not me. You know, have you ever noticed this? When people sin, they try to justify their sin. Have you ever noticed when you sin, you try to justify sin? Maybe you're doing something that God doesn't like. And did you know you'll always try to come up something in humanism for something to justify what you're doing? But the Word of God's straight. And the way to God is narrow. And I'm going to tell you this morning, the Bible says, if you be there that find... What we need to chunk excuses and say, it's me, Lord. It's me. I love the way this Bible points out what I need in my life. Brother Lee was preaching the other night down at the men's meeting. God spoke to my heart. God moved inside of me that night, Brother Lee, like he ain't moved in 3 months. And just a simple message of what you preach. I'm glad God can straighten out some things in our life that need to be straightened out. But if you're in denial about it, you can't get no help. You take a druggie or a doper and you send them all around this world. And if they're in denial that they ain't got an issue, they ain't going to get no help. In your marriage, if you say, well, everybody's marriage is messed up. No, everybody's marriage ain't messed up. I thank God for some folks, and I don't want to name nobody because I don't want the devil to put you as a target. But I sure am glad there's some folks that's lived a life in front of me to let me know a marriage can be happy. My wife come in and grabbed me by the refrigerator this morning. Kissed me on the cheek. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. You may say, well, preacher, everybody's marriage is messed up. No, everybody's marriage ain't messed up. Your marriage can get better this morning, but you got to get out of denial. You got to quit saying it's his fault or it's her fault. You got to line up with the Word of God and do what God says do. Hey, denial don't fix nothing. And when you're trying to justify your sin, that's just a cop-out and an excuse to get you down the road a little further in denial. I'm going to tell you, denial don't help nobody. A lot of times we try to justify our sin. When you hit somebody, this is what you say. Well, he needed busted upside the head. Well, I understand people need busted upside the head, but it still don't make it right to bust them upside the head. We're in denial. We try to justify, well, I was raised that way. Well, get over your raising. It ain't right. You say, well, I'll steal from him because he owes from me. It don't change the fact that you steal. Well, I'm going to tell a lie to get me out of trouble. Well, if you wouldn't act stupid, you wouldn't have to tell a lie. Denial. Boy, isn't it right? How many times, congregation, do we get in denial? I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. We get into denial. We try to justify what they're doing. I've heard people that they've done wrong. We stood against the Word of God. Now they're trying to preach a sermon because they're in denial to justify their wrongdoing. Let me tell you something. Denial don't fix nothing. Coming clean with God fixes everything. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Preacher called you and said, well, we've been missing you at church. Where you been? Said, I just been sorry. That'd be so refreshing. I was preaching a revival meeting a few weeks ago in Alabama. I said that statement. A man come up to me on Wednesday night and said, preacher, I want to tell you something. He said, I'm just sorry. Said, I've laid out on y'all in revival Monday, Tuesday night, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry. Ain't no excuses. I'm just sorry. I said, that's so refreshing. I'm glad you're listening to the preaching. But I'm going to tell you, denial don't fix anything. The acceptance of the Word of God is being denied. Woe is me. Then I want to say this. Not only, I'd ask, has your attendance declined? Has your adoration been distracted? Has your acceptance of the Word denied? Or what about, has your affection dwindled? God is a God of love. And I'm going to tell you something. We ought to have a love for God and a love for God's things. Don't let the world take our church over. Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. My message is not about separation every time I get up, but it is in the message. And our church will never have the power and the glory of God as long as it looks and acts like the world. We ought to dress decent when we come to the house of God. We ought to respect the man of God and the position of God. You ought to teach your children to call him pastor or preacher or brother. Amen. You ought to look up to the elders of the church that God's put them in your life to be a blessing. You young'uns ought to set and give all of your Sunday school teachers. You ought to give them respect. Amen. You ask any policeman in our church, the biggest problem they have in society today is respect. And I'm going to tell you, if it's ever been a time that we need to be instilling respect in our children, amen. Time out ain't working. And I know you can't jerk them up at Walmart, tear their breeches up. You'll be over yonder in the county jail before 3 o'clock. But you can do other things. So I'll just let your mind see what you want to do. I can guarantee you one thing. My daddy didn't raise me by taking time out. He raised me by taking time out to take care of what needed to be done. Somebody say amen. Boy, when I was in the first grade, my teacher, she had a paddle on one leg and a Bible on the other, and I was scared of both of them. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, if there's ever been a time in our country, friend, though we need to get back to loving the things at the house of God. You say, well, I'm not coming back no more. I've been offended. Well, why do you keep going back down to Walmart? They'll steal your parking spot. That computer will get you, not even give you the right change. Amen. They're so automated, you don't even need a clerk no more. They don't know if you're paying or stealing. Somebody say amen. I went down yonder to the gas station the other week, put my credit card in the pump. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't buying gas on credit. I just didn't know my debit card number. Somebody say amen right there. A lot of you'd do better if you'd burn up them credit cards. Say amen, Brother Huey. That thing is out of gas. The pump broke. I got my statement. Got online looking. That crazy thing charged me for a dollar sticking my card in. I ain't got no gas yet. I started running down there in that four-wheel drive and run over that gas pump. Somebody say amen right there. But it ain't right doing it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've lost affection at the house of God. We ought to respect this place and love it and adore it. We ought to get in love with Jesus again. Boy, God has been good to me. Oh, God, don't let my love dwindle. Don't let it waver. God, I need Thee every hour. God, I need You preaching. I need You in my family. I need You in our addition. God, I need You in our parking lot. Oh, God, I need You in our children. God, I need You in everything in my life. And I adore You and I give You right away of everything that You need. Has your adoration dwindled? Has your attraction diminished? Do you remember when you were so attracted to the house of God and the things of God? But now it's just sort of an afterthought. Something way back in your life. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to be number one. He don't want to be second. He's nobody's co-pilot. I found out about God. If He can't drive, He'll just stay at His house. Amen. Oh my, how we need the attraction brought back in our life. Attracted to the things of God. And then I'd say, is your affection dwindled? Is your attraction diminished? But lastly, has your assurance become distant? I've noticed when we get away from God, we can't feel God no more. Now turn with me in your Bible. I'm going to preach one little thought. We'll be done. From survival to revival. I have 4 points, but I won't preach them all, but I will give it to you as an outline. May be able to preach again sometime. But from survival to revival, number one, we need our sin resolved. Number two, we need our spirit renewed. Number three, we need our song returned. Number four, we need our sight restored. So number one, we need our sin resolved. Turn, if you would, to the book of Jonah. I was studying this morning. I knew the Holy Ghost led me here. Probably wouldn't let me go no further here than chapter 1. And I'm going to mind him today, and I'm going to give an invitation. And I'm going to tell you what, if you need help in your life, there's help here today. There's glorious liberty at the house of God. I'm glad I'm not preaching bound. I'm glad I'm not preaching in bondage today. But I have the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has God been good to anybody in this place? God's been good to me in my life, and I bless Him and I praise Him. Now, from survival to revival. Number one, sin must be resolved, or sin must be dealt with. It cannot be denied. Now watch this. The Bible said in Jonah 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now I said last Sunday, when Cain killed Abel, the blood of his brother cried out of the ground. I'm going to tell you, sin is not silent this morning. God's hearing everything that's going on. Now watch. Verse 3, sin resolved. First of all, we see the disobedience of sin. But Jonah. Anytime that word comes in our life, we're going to get in trouble. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now notice this disobedience. Jonah rose up. Anybody got Jonah lives in them. That's our old sin nature. You won't have to live long before you find out Jonah lives in you. Isn't it amazing? You can sing in the choir. You can get up and testify. You can preach a sermon or you can sing a special. Before you even get out of the church house, you'll have a bad thought. You'll have a bad vice. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm preaching gun barrel straight to you. You better watch Jonah in you. He or she will raise their head up in your life. Now notice this. There's a disobedience of sin. Jonah rose up. And ain't it amazing? He got in a button contest with the Lord. You'll notice in verse 3, but Jonah, and then verse 4, but the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when you go to head-butting with the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're going to come up on the short end of the stick, friend. He's been butting a long time, amen? And He's all power. Now, the disobedience of sin, Jonah rose up. Watch this, there's the distance of sin. Every time that you say yes to sin, it will always bring a distance. Look what it says. He rose up from the presence of the Lord. There's nothing, listen to me, child of God, there's nothing you can do that will bring your heart any more grief as a child of God than to get distant from the Lord Jesus Christ. You're miserable without Him, and you're miserable without Him. You're miserable without Him, and you're miserable without Him. You hear what I'm saying? You get over here and you're miserable, and you get over there with them and you're miserable. And you're just plain without Him. But boy, ain't it a blessing when you can get back over there to Him. He sure is a blessing. And so this sin resolved. Notice the disobedience of sin. Then the distance of sin. But watch this. Verse 3, there's the degrading of sin. The Bible said that he went out from the presence of the Lord and he went down. It always brings you to a lower life. You ever know anybody that was living for God? They quit living for God and then seen them years older, how they've aged and how they look and how sin has disfigured their face and their frame. Jonah rose up from the presence of the Lord and he went down. Let me tell you, sin will never take you up. Young people, you listen to this old country preacher this morning. A lot of people, them Clydesdales on them billboards, they'll show you all the nice lifestyle. That ain't the real world. Some of you in corporate, listen, I've done been as high in corporate as a man can go in corporate. I got on the top rung of the ladder. You know what's up there? Nothing. It's lonely up there. Oh, it's nice to have money to buy a few things. But honey, let me tell you, I got something this morning that money cannot buy. And I've noticed when we go away from the Lord, it takes us to a place that brings reproach and shame. It brings a low place in our life. You say, well, preacher, how low can I go? It's no telling how low you can go without God. Women can kill their babies. They can leave them in a dumpster. They can leave them on the side of the road. It's amazing when a person leaves the presence of God, how low they go. You say, how low did he go? He went pretty low. The Bible said he went down. Be careful now. Because I'm going to tell you this thing of sin, when you start playing with it, it'll start playing you. You ever notice that? Let me help you right here before I get done. When you open the door to the devil in your life, or in a church or in a business or in a home, you watch this. When you open the door up to the devil, it's hard to ever get it closed. You know why? Because he's always got his foot stuck in it. So let me tell you, the best advice a preacher can give you this morning, don't open it. Don't look at it. Don't smoke it. Don't drink it. Don't touch it. Don't open the door to it. Because you're going to wish to the Lord in heaven you could get the door closed on it one of these days. The devil's got a big old foot. And he'll keep it there to keep you from getting it closed. Aren't you glad we serve a God and cut the foot off the devil? Amen. Oh my, there is the distance. There's the degrading of sin. He went down. And then, look in verse 3, there's the debt of sin. The Bible said he went and he paid the fare thereof. You know the prodigal son, he lost it all. Disobedience is very costly. I'd hate to know where me and you could go by ourselves with the blessings of God. Can we just take a time out 1 second? I'm going to tell you what I done yesterday. I come out of a place over yonder off of Dixon Road, and I got to thinking, God, look how you bless me. You say, well, preacher, I ain't got a farm and a cabin. I can say that. Well, let me ask you this. Where you're sitting this morning, can you sit down and say, Lord, look how much you've blessed me with. Look at the people that you've allowed me to sit with. Listen to the songs I get to sing. Lord, listen to the word of God I get to hear. Lord, you saved me and got me out of hell, and I sure am blessed. And I thank you for these blessings that you bestowed upon me. And God, I'm not willing to throw it away because I know you've paid it all. And just a little bit, I can throw it all. Sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. You know, the one over yonder on Crack Street today, they never intended that to take and consume their life. You ever notice that about an addiction? I'm a very addictive type personality person. Very addictive. Amen. If I eat one sausage biscuit, I want 3 sausage biscuits. If I get on a scuppernong vine, I don't eat enough to do me. I eat enough till I get sick. I have an addictive nature. And the last thing I want to do is get to playing with sin because I'll get addicted to it. And I don't like addictions in my life. I don't like anything being over me except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it's no sense in us being in denial and saying, dear God, let me tell you, honey, sin will take you places that you'll not have enough money to pay yourself out of there. I could lose it all in a month. I could lose it all. You say, how could you lose it all? Because I could get on a bad place going in a spiral, just a spiral downward. But I can tell you this, I would have never intended to. I don't know, nobody woke up this morning and intended to lose their life, their family, their home, their job. The Bible said he got disobedient with God, he got away from God, and he went down. And he paid the fare thereof. There's no telling what's been paid that didn't have to be paid. It's no telling what me and you's had to pay that we really didn't have to pay, but we brought it on ourselves. But there's hope. I'm headed there. Give your preacher about 10 minutes, and then we're going to go and eat your little greasy chicken. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning there, watch this. I never noticed this morning, verse number 3. There's the debt of sin. He paid the fare out of it. But look what he says. Verse 3 is loaded. He went down into it, watch this, to go with them. There's a direction of sin. Now, I've got some good friends that's in this world. I'll be honest with you, I try to do what the Bible says. I try not to hang out with them. But I try to befriend them and love them, be a light to them. I know I can't win them to Christ sitting in a corn crib by myself. I'm not that crazy. But I can tell you one thing. I don't go to their beer brawl parties. I don't go to their dirty movies. I don't go to places where I can get in trouble. And you better not neither. You better listen to your man of God. You better listen to your man of God this morning. He said he went down. Go with them. Can I say something as your preacher? Don't go with them. The devil will never show you what you got, just what you ain't got. Don't go with them because they'll take you. Watch this. Watch. Right here's a great thought I seen this morning. Are you ready? He ain't leading them. Don't you say, well, if I go with them, I'll lead them to Jesus. No, you won't. They was leading him. He'd go with them. That means you going where they going. That means where they go, you going along with them. Is that good preaching or what? I don't like going where they wind up. Young people, you know where many wind up? Rainwater. You know where many wind up, young people? Tanner. I don't like going with them. I won't be with y'all. I won't be with the people of God. Because let me tell you, there is stability with people of God. We ought to hold our own self accountable. You know, one of the biggest things, I'm nobody's dummy. I know sin's fun. I know that. And it appeals to the flesh. And some of you older people said, I don't know why you say that. Well, I reckon you're just lying and in denial to yourself. Because sin is fun. But it's for a season. And the wages of sin is death. Now watch your Bible. There's the direction to go with them. But then all of a sudden it brings a disturbance. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. There was a disturbance. And then I've noticed this. In sin, there's a deadening. Look in verse 5. But Jonah was gone down the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. Isn't it amazing how some things don't bother you that used to bother you? I've said this a couple of times, I know, but I want to say it again, and I want to elaborate, and I want to toil on it just a minute. Some of y'all think it's so comical, but it ain't. It's a real deal. Now, God won't let me have a street bike. I would love to have one. I would. And so I said, well, okay, well, I went, sold it, waited about 8-10 years, forgot about it. And I seen an ad. It had a dirt bike. I said, well, that won't offend God, surely. I brought the dirt bike home. Got my grandboy on it. Rode about 4 laps. The Holy Ghost said, what'd I tell you? I got off, walked to the house. I told Renee. I said, Renee, I said, what is wrong with this dirt bike, me and God? She said, he done told you once. Well, I called a boy, and just the grace of God, he let me sell it. I didn't lose nothing on that deal. Little Parker said, Pop, where'd that red motorcycle? I said, it's broke. He said, it at the doctor? I said, son, it's in the hospital. And then this is what one of my girls said. I don't say nothing to embarrass him. I'm just saying where I live. She paid me one of the greatest compliments my children's ever paid me. She said, Daddy, little things bother you. I'm glad they do. I'm glad I've not went down, Brother Jake, in the bottom of the boat and went to sleep on my sin. Because it does affect others. See, the Bible teaches it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Nobody become an addict overnight. Nobody lost their home many times overnight. It's little things that start creeping in our lives. About done. Give me just a couple minutes, I'm through. Now there's the deadening of sin. And then verse 6 and 7, watch this. The storm got up. Let me ask you something. Is it stormy in your life? It may be a reason that things aren't calm and settled. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Be sure your sin will find you out. See, sin disturbs a lot of ships. It disturbs lordship. Disturbs fellowship. It disturbs membership. And it disturbs worship. You see, the storm came to the ship. And now watch this. There's a discovery of sin. Be sure you sin if I... But I sure am glad there's a deliverance of sin. God showed me this morning. It's found in verses 12 through 15. He said unto them, I know why the storm's raging. I know why these circumstances are upon us. You see, Daddy, don't say, preacher, leave me alone. Don't say, preacher, leave me alone. I'm just hurting myself. That's not right. Brother Felton made one of the greatest statements that's been made in this church in a long time. His testimony a while ago. He said, I was a lost man leading my family to hell. Many are. But I'm glad God saved him. Now God's moved in his family and saving them. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? Well, you read on in this verse, and this is what it says. There is that discovery of sin, but I'm glad there's a deliverance from sin. Well, how's the deliverance? Watch what happens. He said, I know in verse 12 that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And here's this great verse in 17. Now the Lord had prepared. He'd done raised him up. Miss Emily, come, won't you play this morning? He had done raised him up. He prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. What you thought right there, preacher? Well, this is my thought. I'm glad there's a discovery how to get out of sin. Throw it overboard. Get rid of it. Make a vow to God this morning. Say, God, I opened the door. I put my foot in it. And now I can't close it and I'm fixing to get clean. Well, I need you to close it. I don't know about y'all, but there's some things in my life need closing. He cast himself overboard. God prepared a great fish to come swallow him. What's the principle there, preacher? It don't take long to get from him, but it takes a good while to get back to him. Do you remember in the book of Luke's gospel, they went to Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they went to Jerusalem to pay their taxes, and the child Jesus tarried behind. And they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And it took them 3 days to find him. What's the thought? You may go one day without him, but it's going to take you triple time to get back to where you was with him. And I'm going to tell you what. There's nothing like walking with God. There's nothing like serving him. So that lets me know it's not use to me going. No use in me going with them. It takes too long to get back to where I was. Brother Mike first met me. I don't know if y'all know this about Brother Mike, but he's really one of the greatest woodworkers you'll ever meet. Brother Mike can do anything with his hands, even hit goats. Somebody save me. God love Brother Mike. I love that man. I love you, Brother Mike. Brother Mike, it's out there in my study. Brother Jake, he made me a whale out of wood. Had a little preacher in there, been on his knees inside that whale's belly. And I've looked at that a lot of times. I said, God, I'm wind up there if I'm not careful. Remind me, Lord. When these things come in my life, remind me, Lord. Give me power to say no. Give me power in my life to not even let myself go there. Now, you've heard plain cornbread preaching this morning. I done preached so long, my blood sugar's about got out. But I said all this to say this. I've come to help you today. not to hurt you. From survival to revival.